it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, folks, welcome to episode 6 of the Hockey News on the A podcast. And for this week, we're joined by a very special guest, one of the biggest names in the AHL right now. 2022 fourth overall pick by the Seattle Kraken, 18-year-old Shane Wright. Shane, how are we doing?
Doing great. How are you guys doing?
Doing pretty well. Probably, I mean, you're in the best setup. You're in Coachella Valley wearing flip-flops. You're probably on the beach when you're off time. What's that been like?
Oh, it's been awesome. It's pretty cool living here. Being this this area, has never been here before personally. So it's been great so far. There's a couple of golf courses here as well, which I like. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been great being here.
Are you a big golfer?
I am. Yeah, I like to golf. Yeah.
Who have you been golfing with on the team so far?
A couple guys. Went with Henman, Carty, Karts, Twinarski, Husey, McKinnon as well. A couple boys.
Nice.
Shane, the other day you had a team event. You went to the Target for kind of a holiday event. Kind of, what was that like? You know, just getting a little bit of a sense of normalcy off the ice, starting to bond with your teammates here.
Yeah, it was great. Obviously, you'll be able to shop for families who are obviously underprivileged, and be able to buy them toys, buy them different things, clothes and stuff to help make their Christmas a lot better is always a great feeling. It's always nice to be able to give to those who don't have as much as we do. So it's a great feeling. Nice to be able to help out the community. Nice being able to help out all those families, and definitely was a great experience for me.
What's it been like to adjust to the AHL? You know, obviously in Seattle, you're kind of in and out of the lineup, not playing many minutes, and with the conditioning stint, you can get a lot of reps in that. What's it been like to be playing, closer to 20 minutes a night and a big part of a hockey team?
It's been great. Anytime you're in the lineup, you want to play as many minutes as you can. You want to be a big part of the team, want to be a big part of a winning lineup, and obviously it's nice being able to be put in those different situations, and be able to be trusted in those situations to play more, and kind of build my confidence up in those situations, and it's been a lot of fun. It's nice to be able to play more minutes and get that exposure, get all that more experience.
Shane, how have you found that the pace of the AHL, kind of what's similar, what's different from the NHL and even the OHL?
Yeah, I think it's a fast league. It's a physical league. Obviously, it's older players. It's guys who have either played in the NHL before or working up towards the NHL. So it's a really talented league. I think there's some really talented players, and it's definitely obviously it's not the NHL. It's the NHL is the best league in the world. The AHL is probably the second best league in the world. So obviously it might be a little bit of a step down in terms of pace and speed, but I feel like there's still so many really good players. It's still such a fast game, such a physical game as well. It's been a lot of fun so far. It's been great being able to play a lot of minutes, being able to play in a lot of high end situations, important situations, to gain that experience and to learn from those myself.
The conditioning stint will end on Saturday. At that point, Ron Francis had an interview that you'll be going up with, then getting to the lineup, and then they'll make a decision on the World Juniors. Where's your head? What would your preference be? Do you want to represent Canada? Is that where you're aiming, or are you looking just to stick with the big club for now?
I think at this point, it's really up to the team. It's the team's decision as to what they want to do with me. Obviously, I'd be happy to go to World Juniors. Obviously, anytime you can represent your country and play for your country and that sort of thing is never something you can pass up. But also, I want to play games in Seattle too. And at the end of the day, it's kind of not really as much my decisions, more up to the team and what they want to do.
Growing up, Shane, did you watch the World Juniors? And if so, what are some of your memories, if you have, of watching that tournament and the players that were in it?
Yeah, I watch World Juniors every year growing up. As always, turn around Christmas time that, me and my family would turn on watching. And, it's kind of funny because one of the memories that sticks out is, Jordan Eberle's goal at the 2009 World Juniors to tie against Russia. Now, being teammates with him is a pretty cool feeling, and be able to, talking about that a little bit is always pretty cool. So, World Juniors is always, something I love watching on TV as a kid for sure.
Shane, how are you meshing with your new line mates? This could be a tough league in that sense that players are coming and going.
Yeah, I think it's been great so far. I think, overall, the group we have here is pretty tight, really tight group, really good culture in the room. Everyone really gets along. So everyone welcomed me with open arms. It's really been easy, stepping into, kind of a new atmosphere with guys who I didn't really know as well in the past or have played with in the past, and be able to step in right away. And, they welcomed me. They took me in as one of their own, and it's great so far, kind of bonding and gelling with all these guys, and it feels like I'm part of the group now, and really enjoyed my time here so far.
What's it been like playing under Dan Bylsma, Shane?
He's awesome. I love Dan. He's a lot of fun to be around the rink. Every single day he's always cracking jokes and laughing and smiling, but he's also a super smart hockey mind. Obviously he's won Stanley Cups before. He's played the game as well himself. So he's a guy who knows the game. He knows what to do with players, and so such a smart hockey mind. But is also a guy you love playing for. You want to go out every single day and play for him and win for him. And he's someone who I love playing under for sure.
Shane, what are your areas of priority? I mean, it's only a short stint, but just kind of what are you trying to focus on every day in practice and carrying that over into games?
Yeah, I think for me, just kind of keep building that putt confidence. Just kind of keep building my confidence in myself, my game, and know that I belong here, that I can play there, and also just kind of gain the experience as well. Different situations, obviously, to play more minutes and play and power play minutes and play against higher end players is always something that you take a lot of experience from. Is always something that you can gain a lot from, I think. So it's definitely a lot of good experiences, definitely a lot of good situations and moments during games that I'm going to remember, definitely going to take back to Seattle.
Coachella Valley, it's a brand new franchise, some of the best facilities in the league, NHL caliber. Kind of what is it like, for everybody kind of getting settled in? You've been on a team on a 16-game road trip here for better part of a month now.
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, we've had a couple of days here in Coachella at the rink, see the facilities and practice here and spend the days here. So it's been nice getting to know the facilities, getting to know the rink, and getting to know the city as well. Obviously, it's the rink's not ready yet, so it will be soon. And we're kind of seeing the construction here and kind of building it all up and getting ready for the home opener in December.
Shane, obviously, throughout your hockey career, you've been if not the best, one of the top players on your team. You're a very highly accomplished, player. Making the jump to the NHL, obviously you haven't been able to get into the lineup right away, or consistently, rather. What was that process really like, and who were you leaning on during those times when you were battling that adversity?
Yeah, for sure. Obviously, anytime you step in the NHL as a young guy, you're at the bottom of the totem pole. You gotta work yourself up. You gotta work your way up to, be a guy that coaches trust. And I think a lot of time, you do that through practice, you do that through your reps at practice, and then whatever opportunities you get, you got to take advantage. You got to make sure that every time you step on the ice, you're making a difference, and you're showing your coaches that they can trust you in those situations, and that they can trust you, putting you out there on the ice. So I think I've been leaning on a lot of the older guys in Seattle. Alex Weinberg's doing a great job, Ryan Donato, Eberle, all these guys have been really good for me, it's kind of helped me out through the situation because they've been there before. They've kind of experienced what I'm going through as well. So it's been nice kind of learn from them what their experience have been.
So tell me how you brought up Jordan Eberle's goal to him. Did you tell him, I watched you wearing PJs and I freaked out? Or how did that conversation go down? Did you get him to sign something for you?
No, I don't know. I just kind of talk about World Juniors a little bit. And he asked if I watched as a kid. I'm like, yeah, I love watching him. Yeah, that 2009 one was a pretty good one as well. He's like, yeah, that's kind of how it came about. Yeah,
not a big deal. So obviously the NHL CHL player agreement, you know, kind of puts you in this middle ground where you can only be in Coachella Valley for like a 14-day stint. It's either the NHL or the CHL kind of for you. I know that it's a day-by-day process. I know that it's up to the team a lot. But this sort of uncertainty, right, different from trying to get in the lineup when you're in Seattle, but the uncertainty of where you're going to play throughout the year, what's that been like for you to handle?
Yeah, obviously it can be a little tough at times. I think for me, I'm kind of just focused on what's here and what's now. I'm not really focused on, you know, where I'm going to be in a month or 2 weeks or whatever. I'm just kind of focused on, you know, day by day, just taking one step at a time, just worrying about, you know, coming to the rink every day and learning and growing and, you know, gain that experience, gain that confidence. So, yeah, obviously I'd like to know, you know, where I'm playing for sure. But I think that, you know, what matters more so is, you know, what's happening right now and kind of focus on, you know, just being a good teammate right now and just kind of, you know, keep learning, keep growing here.
Shane, on a personal level, you know, when the season's over, you know, whenever that is, whether it's April, June, whatever, what will you consider this to be a successful season?
Sorry, do you mind repeating that? I couldn't hear.
Sure. You know, at the end of the season, what will you consider to be a success for yourself? You know, what you'll get out of this?
I think for me, that can be, you know, it could be considered as a lot of things. I think for me, anyways, a success is playing an NHL game. You know, I accomplished that dream. You know, I played an NHL game, and I think, you know, the next step for me is, you know, be able to, you know, be a difference maker at that level, be able to, you know, be a top player, be able to, you know, play at that level on a consistent basis. And I think right now for me is just kind of just keep learning, just keep growing as a player, keep gaining that confidence, keep gaining that experience, and understand, you know, what it's like to be a pro, what it's like to, you know, be a top player at that level. I think that, you know, obviously it's tough, you know, sometimes when you're not playing, but I think that, you know, there's also a lot of different ways you can, you know, kind of improve your game, help kind of help yourself out without, you know, playing games. And just kind of taking all those experiences and making sure that I'm always kind of working to get better, always, you know, not staying complacent, just kind of keep working on my game in any way I can.
All right. Well, Shane, thank you so much. Enjoy the sun. Enjoy the golf. Good luck in Seattle. And hey, if you do make it the World Juniors, hopefully you score a goal like Jordan Eberle, and then you'll have a future teammate in 10 years asking you about it. Thanks so much, Shane.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Thanks. Great to have Shane Wright on the podcast. I mean, I think he's definitely I said it before we started, but the most notable name, maybe not all for the right reasons in the AHL with his predicament, you know, having only been able to be in the AHL for about 14 days with a conditioning stint. We were talking about this before we went, you know, live about if we could see Wright in the AHL again, because we wonder if that whole, we don't know for sure, but if he scratched for another 5 games later in the year, if he can end up coming back down. So that'll be something that's interesting to watch, because while it's not ideal to scratch him for 5 games, if it does come to that, there still could be that option.
I think the thing that stands out for me right off the bat with him is his poise. Only 18 years old. Going through, you know, it's a complicated situation for a young player. Whatever level you're at, and now you're in Seattle 1 week, you're in Coachella the next week, maybe in World Junior, you know, a couple weeks from now. So there's a lot coming at you really fast. Just the logistics of getting to know teammates and learning how to play with different line mates, you know, and I guess it's depends how you look at it. You can view it as an opportunity, a chance to experience some different brands of hockey, different experiences. So, but it is a lot. He seems very level-headed, you know, and yeah, that's sort of my takeaway from that.
No, I'd agree with you. And also, it's interesting to note he's never played for Canada in the World Juniors. Mm-hmm. So obviously his mind is, you know, going to be set on playing for Seattle, but that would be kind of cool, I would think, for him. Now, speaking of another high-drafted first-round pick, and that is Quinton Byfield, who has also just recently joined the AHL. And he's actually our prospect of the week, second overall pick of the 2020 draft. And since being reassigned to the AHL on November 6th, Byfield has recorded 7 points in 8 games with the Ontario Reign. 6 of those points have come in the last 4 games. You know, he's been playing center with Alex Turcotte and Tyler Madden on his wings over the last little bit. Byfield's played in about 54 games spread across the last 3 years, but the Kings, they want him to use his 6'5" frame to create offense and be a power player. Pat, I'm sure I'd love to know what you think about, he probably needs more than 32 games of runway to do that in the AHL.
Yeah, and I have to say, you know, you start going down the rabbit hole of, you know, pundits and comments and, you know, people saying that, you know, why is he not an NHL regular already? Why, you know, he's a second overall pick. What is going on? And then you remind yourself he's 20 years old. And he just turned 20 this summer. He simply wasn't getting enough ice time every night in LA, somewhere in the range of 11 to 12 minutes. He needs to be on the ice, and that's what he's getting in Ontario. Certainly if you're with the Ontario Reign, you're able to play with high level teammates, against high level competition, and, you're able to be asked to do more. And you're also able, frankly, to get some confidence. And, you know, we can talk about all the details of the game and, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that and play away from the puck this way or that way. I do think it's useful for players to get some positive reinforcement and get rewarded with a little bit of, you know, way in the way of goals and points and, kind of, I've always found with young players, it helps that buy into, to really take hold that much better. So I don't think there's any problem whatsoever with him being on Ontario. These assignments are not permanent. This is not like when you send a player back to the CHL and it's, pretty much that's it for the season, you know, barring an emergency recall. They can put the call in today and he could be with the LA Kings, you know, in an hour. They even practice in the same practice facility, as the big team. So there's no downside, I don't think. And, it gives him a chance to get a lot of games, get a lot of reps and, really see what he can do and put him into situations that he's not going to necessarily get into playing in the NHL, you know, protectedly with 2 minutes left, play special teams, all that sort of thing that you really want to put him in that crucible where it tests him. And that's what, you know, it's one of the biggest reasons the AHL, exists is, for players, to have that opportunity, to have that option.
And for Byfield, what I've seen over his, you know, 8-game stint is he's really driving play forward. What I mean by that is I found in LA, he was a bit more of a perimeter guy. He was kind of straying away and there was flashes where you would see him use his body and his speed to kind of power through and go down the center of the area to get into the slot. But there were moments where he was kind of hesitant. And I think for Byfield playing with Ontario, he's going to be getting a lot of consistency. What I mean by that is he's going to be getting top minutes. He's going to be playing with the guy like Alex Turcotte, who, you know, himself is trying to work his way back up, but a very reliable defensive player there. Byfield, who's, you know, down the middle consistently, can work on the little things such as D-zone, you know, details, defense on the breakout, pushing the puck through transition. I think for Byfield, that's one of the biggest things because when he was drafted, the aura of Quinton Byfield was about this guy that could skate like the wind, and he was built like a truck as well, right? He had that balance of speed, of skill. And to really unlock that, you can't be caught in the NHL AHL elevator because you can't really gain momentum. Like I want to know what you would think about sort of how a player like him that, let's face it, he's a raw talent, not necessarily refined, how he could be hindered by going up and down and up and down and not really having, you know, a long amount of runway.
Well, it's consistency. I mean, if you're asking players to be consistent, and that's frankly the biggest challenge for players at the AHL levels to build that consistency, well, then you have to give them an environment to be consistent.
Right.
And it's hard to be consistent when you're in two different leagues one night to the next, usually in two different roles. You're going, you know, from a top line or top six role to a bottom six role. You're being asked to maybe go from 20 minutes a night down to 8 minutes a night, playing with different line mates. I mean, that's just yanking players back and forth like that. I don't think that generally works. And you know, if you you look at the most productive farm systems across the entire hockey landscape, the one thing they have in common is that they're patient. They're patient, and then they're a little bit more patient beyond that, right? And like you see what's going on with Detroit, with Grand Rapids, Steve Yzerman there. It's that formula is already well in place. That they're willing to let players marinate a little bit longer in the AHL and not bring them up the minute they show a little bit of a spark. And I think if you can avoid that temptation to do that, rush players back and forth, because you have to understand, like, I mean, players are human too, right? Like,
for sure. But Pat, what I would say is, sorry to interrupt you, but with Ontario, I think generally they have been doing that. But mm-hmm. the thing is, with Byfield, they haven't. How much of it do you think has to do with the fact that he's a top three guy? Like, that must sort of hinder teams or maybe rush teams to make a decision, no?
It can. I don't necessarily think that's the case there. I think, you know, when a player is a second overall pick, I mean, there is a lot more of an assumption that he's more ready than than others. But, someone is taking second overall, it's not necessarily because how ready they are right now. You're trying to project 5-10 years out what they are. And the higher pick you are, the higher your ceiling should be. And I think his ceiling is very high, but some players just take a little bit longer to get there. And, you know, the other players, they reach their ceiling faster, but it's a shorter ceiling. So it really depends. And I do think that they're slowly but surely, there is an increasing understanding that players' paths and their runway and they kind of whatever word you want to use really do vary, and that you can't apply a one size fits all mentality to player development anymore.
Another player from that 2020 draft that's recently been assigned to the AHL is Marco Rossi. He went 9th overall in the 2020 draft for the Minnesota Wild. Reassigned to the AHL on Monday, and he scored 3 points in his debut with Iowa on Tuesday evening. And that was Rossi's first game since November 17th when he played with the Wild, and he played about 9 minutes. He was averaging about 12 minutes a night in Minnesota. And I think that with Rossi, he had a great year last year in Iowa, was put even better by the fact that he missed his entire draft year plus one with COVID. Exceptional draft plus 2 year last year with Iowa. And now this year, it was kind of expected he'd make that jump. He fell out of favor in Minnesota. Nick Patan, career legendary quad A player, has kind of leapfrogged him. Now, Rossi's back in the AHL. As I said, great first pro season. But I think that people are maybe forgetting that as great as his year was last year, he wasn't, quote unquote, too good to be in the AHL. He was a great player. Mm-hmm. He wasn't necessarily final dominant. So I wouldn't say I'm totally shocked by him being back in the AHL, but what about you, Pat? What do you think? What was your reaction to seeing him come back down to the farm?
Well, I like that response that he had, right? Like, you know, you can be disappointed. You can disagree with the decision. You can, whatever the case may be. How do you handle it? Well, he came out in first period against a pretty solid San Jose team, comes out and puts up 3 points, right? Like, yep. That's his response. It's not to go down there and go through the motions. It's not to, pout. It's none of that, right? And like I know from speaking with him different points, very driven, very mature, very kind of almost, I think he can be hard on himself at times, and that's sometimes what makes players great, but that's the response you exactly wanted to see, not go there and kind of just blend in. That sometimes you see players or they need 5 or 10 games to kind of get their head back on straight and, you know, waste that time. Like, he jumped into it right off the bat. And I think that's his response. That's the best response you can get. That's the response that NHL general managers understand, coaches understand. And, you know, it's an interesting thing to look at, like Bill Guerin, right? You know, GM of the Minnesota Wild. He was in that position at 1.2, a real top prospect with the New Jersey Devils. Thinking back to his time there, he had to go to the American Hockey League as a young player. It worked out well for him. He went on and had a pretty nice career for himself. So the world is not ending just because you're 21 years old and you're in the American Hockey League. You know, like we said with Byfield, a call-up can come today. And it only takes one injury or one slump or whatever at the top, with the NHL roster, and you're back up there. So come down, use this time wisely, productively, get the ice time you need, tie up the loose ends in your game, and you'll be that much better off when you do go back to Minnesota. He will be back in Minnesota. It's just a matter
of when. Will it be this year?
I think so, yeah. I think just law of averages, there's going to be an injury. Somebody's going to fall out of favor in the lineup there, or he's going to make it just about impossible for them to keep him down there, right? If you come down there and you put up numbers and, all the feedback, from head coach Tim Army, is fantastic. And I love the setup that Minnesota has now in Iowa with a coach like Tim Army, 35 years in the business, super positive guy, like, you know, infectious enthusiasm. So you're going down there. It's not like you're coming into a kind of a blah, unpleasant environment. Like, you're coming in and like you're being welcomed with open arms. You can't help but kind of really settle in quickly. And I think that's just a great environment for him to be in. And hey, he'll be that much better when he does come up. And I think he will be before long.
Absolutely. I'm sure a big relief for him to score, a goal, get that 3 points. He went 16 games and got just 1 point. And obviously for a skilled player like that, that's definitely not easy to go through. Let's move on to our team of the week, and that is the prospects of the Edmonton Oilers, better yet, the Bakersfield Condors, where they're playing with. A lot of interesting things have happened with Edmonton system recently. I wouldn't say that Philip Roberg is a graduate, but he's right now with the big club. Dylan Holloway, who was there last year, he's part of the big club. And, for a team where you have Draisaitl and McDavid and Darnell Nurse making big bucks, you need to be having ELC contributions. And let's go over a couple of the guys that are kind of knocking on the door and sort of in the minor league system of NHL property. Let's first start with Broberg. So as I said, he is with the team now, but he's someone that played the entire year last year, started out this year, recalled in December on November 22nd, 21-year-old left-hand defenseman, 8th overall pick in 2019. According to Instat data, he averaged over 25 minutes a night over his first 7 games this year, playing all situations and a real true number one at this level. He's an interesting person because I think that, the 2019 draft, kind of where he went and maybe ahead of a certain bigger names that have made it faster, has sort of made him redundant in the conversation of next best defenseman. But Philip Roberg is a great athlete and someone that I think has a lot of top four upside. What have you seen from him at the AHL level from maybe the start of when he first came into some of the games this year that, is encouraging in your mind?
Well, I think the thing I noticed when I watch Bakersfield is just, it seems like he's on the ice all the time, right? Like, sure. I mean, first and foremost, right? Like,
right.
There's no replacement for that. Getting 25 minutes a night, I mean, that's heavy, heavy minutes, especially in the league, right? The schedule's really demanding, really punishing. You're being asked to do a lot. It's not the NHL where you're chartering from one city to the next. It's a lot of bus rides. It's a lot of, a lot of a grind, and you're really putting your players through the paces with that. So that's the first thing I've noticed with him. It's just like, it's like, oh, there's Broberg again,
Right.
So I love that for a young player to be able to just be the man, right? Like, be asked to do everything. And, I think anyone who's ever done anything, right? Like, whether you've played hockey, even at, minor hockey level, or you've anything, like, where you're asked to be the person or one of the key people, it can't help but boost your confidence. And I think this is an overall theme with Edmonton in recent, in maybe the last 4 to 5 seasons. And I really kind of look at the Jay Woodcroft era in Bakersfield, and now he's obviously in Edmonton, but he really turned that whole program around. Edmonton for a good 10 years struggled to produce any sort of impact players. I mean, I'm old enough to remember at one point Edmonton used 5 affiliates in one season. That's how far their development program has come. And you look at what Woodcroft did there, and they're very careful there. They have good veterans. They had Adam Cracknell last year, Brad Malone, and create a really, really, really good positive nurturing environment for young players. And so for a player like Broberg now to see him up with Edmonton, I think he's that much better off. And it's again, I mean, this is a theme over and over, right? Like it's not a demotion. It's a chance to work on your game. It's not a punishment. This isn't like you're being exiled, you know, like this is part of the development. And when you look at how many players that have come through there, I mean, Zdeno Chara played in the AHL, right? Like if he could learn something playing in the AHL back as a young player, certainly any young defenseman, I think would be very wise to look at that and see what you can work on. There's always something in your game that you can get better at or refine, or at least try to not make as much of a liability. And that's what the AHL is there for.
Xavier Bourgault, 22nd overall pick in 2021. He's got about 8 points in 17 games this year. Great puck skills, you know, talented player when he was drafted, still a talented player now, but obviously someone that his puck skills popped whenever you watched him. I'd be interested to know what you think about him and his development, because he's another guy where first round pick, there's kind of that you know, clout that comes with it. I'll be honest. I don't know how wowed I am from him so far, but it is early. What can you tell me about the Bakersfield center?
Obviously now this is an adjustment for, you see this a lot of times with young forwards, especially, right? Like that last year or two of junior, they just put up monster numbers. And, he was certainly one of those players. He was the man, in Shawinigan last year. Now you come in and you're 20 years old. He's got to get stronger, which, I mean, that is the case with most players. And I think, that's really the one thing now that separates players, I think, from the NHL to the AHL, not even skating as much. I think skating is, players have come so far in their development with that, that they arrive so much better, in the AHL with their skating, but strength takes time, right? Like, and I'd like to see him get stronger. This is an opportunity to do that. I like what I've seen so far, but it's early, right? He's a first round pick. There's obviously skill there. There's obviously potential, but I do think his pathway is going to be a little bit longer than maybe some other players. But again, that's okay. I think Edmonton really has turned their program around, and one of the things that they've done has been a willingness to be more patient. Leon Draisaitl played in Bakersfield, so that's kind of all you have to say if you're the Edmonton Oilers to any young forward. That's, you know, there are things that you can work on, and it turned out pretty well for Draisaitl.
Goaltender Olivier Rodrigue, 22 years old, 2018 second round pick. He's rocking a .924 save percentage 8 games into the season. Someone that's really come onto the scene here and progressed last year in the AHL and ECHL. Sort of popping in his 22-year-old season, where you're seeing that save percentage go up quite a big deal. He has a great partner in Calvin Pickard, probably the best you could ever ask for. I remember covering the Toronto Marlies and seeing him and Garrett Sparks hand-in-hand. Pickard's the biggest cheerleader you'll ever have. Years and years of experience for Rodrigue to lean on. But, you know, definitely interesting to see how Rodrigue has fared compared to Pickard. While they've split games 8-8 apiece, Rodrigue is definitely the man there. And he looks like he's someone that could be in the conversation to get a promotion soon. Kind of like what we saw with Stuart Skinner in his last couple of years, where you're like, okay, this might be a guy. Goalies are voodoo, and it's hard to predict that. But what have you seen from Rodrigue this year?
Funny you mentioned Skinner, because Skinner kind of had that same path where, you know, he had to do some time in the ECHL, and that was okay. And, you know, goalies are I hear that phrase a lot, goalies are voodoo. But then when you speak to goalie coaches, it's less voodoo, right? It's just, they're voodoo to those, you know, kind of the rest of us who, you know, are not in that goalie world. But but the point is well taken. And, you know, a young goalie, the ECHL is perfect for that, I think, because that is a league that will test any goalie. You know, it will test even guys that are AHL caliber at that point, because it's such a scrambling league. I mean, I think that's the biggest difference. Every level you go down, it becomes that much more chaotic. that much more unpredictable. And for a goalie, that's great, right? Like unpredictability really does test them. And, you know, your defense corps changing a lot. There's a lot of things that are thrown at a young goalie in the ECHL that they need that extra time there before they even, before you can kind of even start to talk about the AHL as a place to be now. And I think he's that much better off now, having gone through that experience. You know, it's just in general, I think the players, the 20, 21 year old, 22 even now, that pandemic season really was kind of a fly in the ointment of development. Players were kind of scattered everywhere. The AHL wasn't what it normally is. Players went to Europe. They, you know, didn't get to play much in some cases. So I think for we have to sort of suspend some of our conventional thinking with young prospects who got caught in that that pandemic season. That, you know, it's going to be a little bit more unpredictable than it would be otherwise. But I like his path so far. He's with a solid team. He's in a great division, right? Like, I mean, look at some of the opponents you face every night. You know, goalies are tough to predict. I mean, notoriously so, and their pathway is a lot longer in most cases. But for where he's been and where he hopes to go, I think he's on track right now. And I want to see him have a dominant season at the AHL level this year. And probably even next year. And then at that point, I think Denny's in the conversation in Edmonton.
Would agree with that. Before we close off, Pat, rapid fire, can you tell us a bit about Carter Savoie and Michael Kesselring just before we sign off?
Yeah, Kesselring, six round pick, I should say, really has come on late, especially this year. You know, obviously the points in his game stand out, but it's all the stuff away, the defensive zone coverages and that aspect of the game that I think has come along the best. And Savoie, I mean, he played a big season in college last year. But again, he's a player that's, if you look at his path, I mean, he's had a really kind of accelerated path to the AHL. Just in a few seasons. I mean, you know, if you look back, he was, you know, what, 2019-20, he was in junior A, right? Like,
yeah,
that's a huge, massive jump for him to where he is now. And it's going to take a little bit of time, obviously. And certainly when you look at what he did in college, you know, at a top program, it's encouraging. He'll get a good education there in Bakersfield with Colin Chalk. And there's no rush for him. For where he's been, you know, really to be where he is in the AHL only.
Right. To even be a regular, really.
I think he's come a long way.
Absolutely. Well, that's all we have for this week, folks. Thank you so much for listening. It was great to have Shane Wright on and go over. It was a really prospect filled episode. Most are, but a lot of young guys we talked about, Rossi, Byfield, you name it, Oilers prospects. So yeah, thanks again for joining us and we'll see you guys next week.